1, I will begin reading in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew of the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also cease, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increased in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is a wonderful chapter, and I thought rather than dealing with the entire chapter, I just wanted to deal with the first section, and we'll probably move through this chapter together over a few different days. But as I was reflecting on this chapter, and particularly the first few verses, the thing that stood out to me is that this section of Scripture is really just an encouragement to people who are being prayed for. And it's Paul's way of saying, I haven't actually really met you before. One of my dear friends, Epaphras, he is the one who's ministering the word to you. But he's told me about you. He's told me about your faith. He's told me about your love. He's told me about the confidence that you have in the resurrection of Christ and the confidence that you're going to stand before him someday. And as I've heard about your church and as I've heard about your conversions and your growth into Christ-likeness, my heart has been so encouraged by that. And so I pray for you, and I want you to know how I pray for you, because it's going to encourage you, and it's also an indication of how God is working in you and how he will continue to work in you because of how people are praying for you. That's really what this whole section is about. It's encouragement for people who are being prayed for. And so what I want to do now is I want us to look at the things that Paul actually says to the church. And this is a really good pattern for us to follow in our own prayer lives. You know, a lot of us are at home. Now we're locked down in our state. And we can only go out for urgent matters, going to the grocery store, things that have to be done. And so we have a lot more time to spend not doing our normal things. And this is a great time to pray for each other. We need prayer as individuals. And we need to be thinking about other people as we're praying for them. So here's the things that Paul says. The first thing that he says is we give thanks to God, praying always for you. It wasn't just that Paul prayed for them one time and then he was done. But Paul consistently brought this church before the Lord. And what's interesting is as we read the New Testament, we see that Paul prayed for a lot of people this way. Paul spent a tremendous amount of time praying for other people. And the truth is that we need to do the same. We need to be a praying people. And here are the things that he says about the way that he prays and why he prays. He says, I pray always to God for you, for your faith in Christ, for your love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up unto you, or laid up for you in heaven. When Paul was praying for these people, one of the reasons he was so grateful to God for them, so thankful, is he says, they're believers. They're saved. Not only they're saved, but their faith has impacted their life. They are living out their faith. They love one another. They love other Christians. And not only do they love other Christians, but they have this steadfast confidence in the coming of the Lord. And he says, I'm thankful because you have a hope, a confidence, an assurance that God is coming back to take you to be with him. He then goes on in verse 5, and he says this, "Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, it bringeth forth fruit also in you since the day that ye heard it." He says, what I've heard about you is that when you placed your faith in Christ, from that point on, the gospel has changed you drastically. It's not only changed your eternal destination, now you're a child of God and you're going to spend eternity with him, but it's impacted the way that you think, it's impacted what you love, it's impacted your interpersonal relationships. It's bringing forth fruit, and it was from the very day that you embraced the gospel. He then says this, "For this cause," verse 9, "since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you." Here are the things that Paul says that he continually brings to God as a request on behalf of these people. He says, "We pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." We want you to know what God desires to accomplish in the world. He wants you to not only understand his will, but he wants you to understand it in wisdom. He wants you to understand it in spiritual understanding. In other words, he wants these people to not understand just what God wants them to do, but he wants them to understand the basis. Why is God doing the things that he is doing? He then goes on in verse 10 and he says this, "I pray that you would walk worthy of the Lord." In other words, not only that you would be saved, but that your life would be consistent with the gospel that you've embraced. He's not saying that they became worthy all of a sudden, that they earned their salvation. But what he's saying is that the way that you're living, it's consistent with the position that you have in Christ. He says that it would be at all pleasing. In other words, God's not just pleased with them because they're accepted in Christ, because he accepts them on the basis of the righteousness of Christ. But when the Lord Jesus looks at the way that these Christians are living in their daily lives, it brings joy to him. It's encouraging. It's a blessing to God to see that. He then says this, that you would be fruitful in every good work, that you would be increasing in the knowledge of God, that you would grow in in the depth of your relationship with God. You'd know him more intimately. That you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. He says, it's not just that I want to see that the gospel's impacted you and you are growing in Christ Jesus and that you're growing in a knowledge of him, that you understand his ways more fully. But I want you to be strong. I want you to draw on his grace. As you pass through circumstances, you will experience that those victoriously, that you will overcome the difficulties. And then lastly, he talks about the kind of strength that he is referring to. It's a strength that's unto patience, that's unto long-suffering with joy. In other words, he's praying that these Christians would understand that they're in a process. And because they're in a process, they have to be patient in that process. And not only do they understand that they're in a process that they need to be patient through, but they're looking at the ultimate end of that process. And so understanding that they're in the process and understanding where the process is going is going to give them the strength to be able to get through it. And so this is what Paul's praying. Last thing he says is this, giving thanks, he has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. The last thing that he does is he just praises God that these people are qualified to enter the kingdom of God. They're not qualified because of their own righteousness. They're not qualified because of their love that is growing or their understanding or their knowledge of God. They're qualified because of Christ. And the next time we get together, we're going to talk a little bit about what Christ did to make them qualified, meet to be partakers of his inheritance. But those are the encouragements that we have from God's word. I jotted these things down as a couple of observations about this passage. The first is this, we need to be a praying people. The first thing Paul talks about before he gets into any theological discussion, before he gets into any practical discussion, he reminds these people that he prays for them. And he tells them exactly how he prays for them. And he says, I consistently do it. It's my way of life. I bring you before the throne of the Lord. And we need to be like that. We need to be a people who are a praying people. Secondly, we need to be a people who have a prayer that's focused. We're not just praying about the physical needs of others, though we should do that, but we're praying specifically about things that have eternal significance. We're talking about the spiritual growth and development of people, and we're doing it in a very specific and focused way, and we need to pray that way. The third observation is this. We need to be a patient people. We need the Lord to help us to constantly keep in our minds we're in the middle of a process. God is growing us into Christ's likeness. That process is long. That process is slow. That process is sometimes tedious and difficult. But the reality is the end of the process is Christ's likeness. And so we need to keep in our minds the goal and the process. And that's how we develop patience. And it's the Lord that ultimately will help us to do that. Let me share with you how I'm going to pray this morning after thinking about this passage. And I hope that this will be something for you to think about. First of all, I'd encourage you to pray that the Lord will help you to think about others. When we pray for people, it's an indication that they're on our heart and that we believe that God is ultimately the one who can work in their lives through those circumstances too. We should pray that the Lord will help us to pray in light of eternity in the gospel. In other words, the primary things we are burdened about and the primary things that we take before the Lord have spiritual significance, eternal significance. They are shaped by our understanding of the gospel. And lastly, that the Lord would help us to be a group of people that draw from His grace daily. And that we're a group of people that are constantly growing in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow together for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us in these areas. Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning to be a praying people. A people who think about others. A people who recognize that it is you who ultimately is the one who works in people's lives and can change and can strengthen and can enable. I pray that we would be a praying people. Father, help us to be a group of people who pray in the light of the gospel and eternity and what is most significant, these spiritual truths. I pray that we would lift up others in prayer and that you would strengthen them as we bring their names before your presence. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be a people who draw daily from your grace, who are growing in maturity and strength and in wisdom, and ultimately who have a stronger conviction and a greater longing for the day when we will see the Lord Jesus face to face, and we will be complete in Him, and we will experience the glories of eternity. I pray you bless each person that is listening this morning and that will listen later. May you strengthen them through your word, and I pray that they would be encouraged by the things that are said. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. And if you have a chance to listen to this later in the day, I hope that you're having a great day. And I'm praying for you. And we look forward to seeing many of you on the live stream tonight as we do a pastor talk. And then as we have our meetings Wednesday night and Sunday. Have a blessed morning.